the Prime Evening News for today, Thursday, May 28, 2020. I am Whitney Milena. In the headlines, Kara Schlenford defeats Anthony Astafan again as ECSC overturns a High Court decision to uphold a request for judicial review in a treating matter against the DLP candidates in the 2014 general election. Relief efforts relating to the COVID-19 pandemic have taken a toll on the Jamaica Ministry of Labor and Social Security food supplies, according to Permanent Secretary in the Ministry, Colette Roberts-Risden. And parts of Minneapolis were burning this morning after fury over the death of George Floyd while in police custody. It sparked a chaotic night of rioting and clashes between law enforcement and protesters. The news is brought to you for the very kind compliments of West Indies Communications Enterprise Limited. The details of these and more stories coming up.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on Q.
Open quote, the wheels of justice appear to be alive and well in the Caribbean region in this new year 2020, end quote. Court reporter Carlisle John Baptist has reported on a ruling which was delivered today against the government of Dominica and its legal team headed by attorney Anthony Astafan. Attorney Kara Schlenford has once again defeated attorney Anthony Astafan as the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court, ECSC, overturned the decision of the Dominica High Court to uphold a request for judicial review in a treating matter against some Dominica Labour Party DLP candidates in the 2014 general election held in Dominica. Astafan is once again defeated by the young attorney-at-law Kara Schlenford in this election treating matter, which has been dealt with in the court today in the Court of Appeal in Antigua. This matter was filed in the court by the appellants and was held on reserve for the past 5 years. However, today, 28 May 2020, congratulations are in order for the complainants, upheld by a 2-1 majority decision. It is worthy to note that after the first ruling of this case in the Dominica's High Court, the appellants, through their lawyer, Kara Schlenford, appealed the matter which was heard in October 2019 and the decision reserved.
You would have read that the Court of Appeal would have handed its decision this morning, and that came in at 9 o'clock in Antigua. I have also spoken with Mr. Anthony Astafan on the matter. The Court of Appeal, in a majority decision, 2-1, so 2 ruled in favor of the appellant and 1 against the appellant. So Mr. Astafan confirmed that with me, that is in a 2-1 decision, the decision came against the government. Like he said, he has already spoken with the Prime Minister, and they will be appealing the matter. They will be taking it to the CCJ. He has expressed disappointment. He said that he's extremely disappointed in the decision. Also, that he said that he's disappointed and he's surprised. He said that. And he also told me that in his entire years as a practicing attorney, this is the first decision that came to him as a shock.
Court reporter Carlisle John Baptist. Also, after a crushing blow to the government of Dominica and its legal team in a ruling today by the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court, ECSC, attorney-at-law Anthony Astafan shared his thoughts to the media. Anthony Astafan told the media he is disappointed in the court's decision, and his team will file for an appeal to the Caribbean Court of Justice, CCJ. In his application, Senior Counsel Attorney Astafan claimed that the magistrate had no jurisdiction to issue the summons and that the matter was one of an election petition, which should be heard in the High Court. The then presiding High Court Judge, Justice Bernie Stephenson, had agreed.
The appeal that was heard last year concerning whether the complaints before the magistrate's court against the entire cabinet was lawful, was upheld by the Court of Appeal. I have to tell you that I am extremely surprised at the judgment, but I haven't yet read it. But my initial reaction to the Honorable Prime Minister is that we must expedite an appeal to the CCJ as soon as possible, because there was a dissenting judgment on it. Madam Justice Blenman dissented. And I am firmly of the view, even though I have not read it yet, that the majority judgment is very, very likely wrong and needs to be subject to a review by the highest court of our land. So we are going to be proceeding to have the appeal application for the leave for appeal filed. We'll ask for a stay of proceedings. I will ask the CCJ to expedite the hearing. It is unfortunate that we have had to deal with this, but that's the system of the rule of law that we have. You win some, you lose some, but when you lose some, you must focus on getting the matter heard by the Court of Appeal. And I think our appeal will have considerable merit, considering there was one dissenting judgment by the most senior member of the court. So I thought I should let you know that I am disappointed. I am very surprised. But at the same time, that's our system of justice. So to see whether my surprise and disappointed is vindicated, we're going to have to take the matter to the Court of Appeal, to the CCJ.
Meantime, distinguished attorney Kara Schillenfurt responded to attorney Anthony Astafan's opinion and stated that appealing to the CCJ will not change the results of what happened today, simply because the law is clear, the proper research was done and presented, and evidence indicates that the law was violated in this circumstance.
While the senior counsel is entitled to his opinion, I think that appealing to the CCJ isn't going to create different results, because in my opinion, the law on this point is clear. The Act says that any person who is charged with treating has to be tried summarily. And we all know that summary trial means trial before a magistrate. There is no section within the House of Assembly Elections Act that immunizes or gives immunity to any category of politicians. The law applies equally to everyone. So if it is that the respondents decide to appeal to the CCJ, then we will argue before the CCJ exactly what we argued before the Court of Appeal, and I am confident that the CCJ would rule in our favor, as did the Court of Appeal.
Distinguished Attorney at Law Kara Schillenfurt. In related news, Lennox Linton speaks on the matter of Attorney at Law Kara Schillenfurt and the decision of the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court of Appeal, calling Ms. Schillenfurt a major blessing to democracy in Dominica. The matter is between former police officers Antoine Defoe and two others, including members of the Dominica Labour Party administration. Defoe and two others petitioned a ruling of the High Court, which dismissed the case years ago for alleged cheating and bribery by the candidates of the Dominica Labour Party before the 2014 general election. Attorney at Law Kara Schillenfurt, who represents Defoe, made submissions in court. And at the time, the ECSC of Appeal said the matter needed more time.
The citizens who filed the action decided that they were going to file a criminal complaint for criminal behavior in the election, specifically treating. And the lawyers for the candidates, Labour Party candidates, were brought before the court, argued that this matter had no place in the magistrate's court. The only way it should come to the attention of the court was by an election petition, and the time had elapsed for that because you only had 21 days in which to file it. The argument on the side of the complainants was that this was a criminal matter, and there was 6 months in which to file the case against the Labour Party candidates, and they did. In the High Court, the High Court judge here found in favor of the government side. The matter was appealed, and the appeal was led by Kara Schillenfurt. And I endorse all the commendations and congratulations for Kara and her work. She's very diligent, she's very astute. But I also want to say this morning that she's a big blessing to democracy in Dominica because of the kinds of cases she has been willing to take on in the early years of her career in the legal profession. Right? I wanted to say that.
I think, my heart, I believe she's a major blessing to democracy in Dominica.
Leader of UWP Team Dominica, Lennox Linton. Also making news, we have a very strong elements of unfairness of colonization in Dominica, says DPSU General Secretary Thomas Leiter. Mr. Leiter says, when he analyzed the present situation, one may even say in some instances that we may have it worse than even during the times of slavery. He was speaking on the DPSU program at the time of that statement.
Whether we still have certain elements of racism and so on and so forth in the Caribbean. But even when we look at Dominica, we have elements, very, very strong elements of the unfairness of colonization. And in some instances, I believe it's even worse than when we were colonized. And one of the things maybe one of the examples I want to give is before you had public officers, or let me say a number of public officers were charged with the responsibility to provide welfare, to identify, not only to provide, but to identify people who should be the recipients of welfare assistance and so on and so forth. And in so doing, there was a certain level of fairness. People were not left out of it. Everybody who qualified were assisted. Nowadays, that has changed. It is the agents, even not the politicians themselves, but the agents of politicians who are involved in identifying and making sure that certain people receive assistance while others are not. And that is something that needs to be corrected.
General Secretary of the Dominica Public Service Union at DPSU, Thomas Leiter. Dominica Freedom Party leader and economist Kent Vital claims that the Climate Resilience Execution Agency for Dominica, CREED, may not have received significant monies from bilateral sources. Vital stated on the DFP's Freedom and You program that he is not surprised, as the current Skerrit-led DLP government lacks integrity and capability.
And to make matters worse, a lot of the projects that are implemented, important projects, they have been left out of it, those that are funded by the CBI and funded from local sources. So the guys are basically sitting there and being ignored. I am not surprised, because this government lacks integrity, this government lacks capability, this government is corrupt. And if you try to help them and you try to work with them, you're going to be very, very, very disappointed. Even when guys are paid $50,000 a month, like these CREED guys and so on, they still couldn't stay and work with this government.
Vital referred to individuals with respect for society who attach themselves to the government in an attempt to help, but sooner or later realize that they cannot. He claims it is the same situation with CREED. According to Vital, it also appears that CREED has not been able to accomplish much of the core mandates published on their website.
But this is exactly what has happened with CREED. Professional people, well qualified, the mandate of CREED is appropriate because these donors did not want to trust the government. But yet, in terms of the legislation, as I said, if I were a country donor, I would not put a cent there. But we see the result of it. Very few donor-supported projects other than the multilateral projects. Very few. And the local projects, they are totally ignored. So all the core mandate that they put there on their website, they don't seem to have been able to accomplish much of it.
Calling for an interim government, Vital insisted there has been too much mismanagement and misallocation of funds, claiming the current government has no capability of successfully leading the country through the rough times ahead.
But I am not surprised. This government needs to resign. This government needs to move out of the way. They need to count for the monies. They need to count, have better stewardship. But if they cannot give better stewardship, they need to resign and get out of the way. there needs to be an interim government, because this government, the period in which we are going to, they have no capability of leading us through the rough time that's going to come successfully. So we're asking them, step aside. There has been too much that has happened, too much mismanagement, too much misallocation of funds, too much bad management. You cannot lead our country. Step aside, resign, let there be an interim government.
Dominica Freedom Party leader and economist Kent Vitala. Local Government Commissioner Glenroy Tousset reveals that additional shelter guidelines have been developed for shelters that are specific to the COVID-19 pandemic. He added that it will be assured that there is a mandatory wearing of masks at shelters at all times, as well as enforcing adherence to hygiene guidelines and more.
We know, for example, that sometimes some people in our communities can be a little difficult, so we have to look at the whole issue of security. We are looking at a different approach in terms of shelter management. Shelter management is diverse now, so no longer we are looking at the approach of just a shelter manager and assistant manager. We are looking at the possibility, how do we develop what we call a team approach as far as shelter management is concerned. And importantly, we are looking at the possibility of the use of public officers in communities to assist us in that regard. So that is one of the adjustments that we had to make as far as COVID-19 is concerned, and we are hoping that that will greatly assist us. As we speak of that, we really want to call on the general public, because our intervention will not be successful if it does not get the buy-in from the community, because we are doing that for the community, we are doing that for our people, and so they too have to play their part as far as that is concerned.
Local Government Commissioner Glenroy Tousset. And finally, in local news, Prime Minister Roosevelt Garrett says residents must plan and be prepared to assist themselves ahead of the hurricane season with a mindset of resiliency and self-sufficiency, as they acknowledge that external donor countries and agencies are already overwhelmed given the ongoing response to the COVID-19 pandemic. He was speaking at a hurricane preparedness briefing earlier this week.
The government is making significant investments in agriculture that will allow farmers and non-farmers alike to plant crops so that their families can have fresh food to eat. We should therefore be strategic in what we plant. And of course, we were able to identify those crops which have survived Hurricane Maria, especially root crops.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Garrett. In other news, relief efforts relating to the COVID-19 pandemic have taken a toll on the Jamaica Ministry of Labor and Social Security food supplies, according to Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Labor and Social Security, Colette Roberts-Restin, who says efforts are now being made to revive the stock ahead of the June 1st start of the Atlantic hurricane season. Open quote, "We do have supplies within the ministry's warehouse of a personal protective equipment, PPEs, for COVID-19, and we are in the process of securing additional supplies for PPEs as it relates to hurricanes, such as raincoats, water boots, and so on. We do have supplies on hand, but I would be the first to admit that our supplies need to be beefed up," end quote. Roberts-Risden said while speaking at yesterday's meeting of the National Disaster Risk Management Council at the office of Prime Minister in St. Andrew. Roberts-Risden said the ministry, which is the lead body for welfare support during disasters, has in the meantime identified additional sites across the island as the distribution points for help packages, and has entered into 2 framework agreements for the supply of food and bedding. And parts of Minneapolis were burning Thursday morning after fury over the death of George Floyd sparked a chaotic night of rioting and clashes between law enforcement and protesters. Demonstrators also marched in at least 2 other major U.S. cities overnight, as communities roiled over Monday's death of Floyd, a black man who died after pleading for help after a policeman pinned him, unarmed and handcuffed, to the ground. One of Floyd's brothers cried Thursday morning as he said his family wants protests to be peaceful, but stressed people are struggling over seeing another black man die following a police encounter.
At this hour, fires are still burning on the south side of Minneapolis after protesters took to the streets to demand justice for George Floyd, the unarmed, handcuffed black man who pleaded with a police officer to let him breathe as the officer pinned him to the pavement with a knee to his neck. The city's mayor is urging people to leave the area, and he has reportedly asked the governor to call in the National Guard.
The Minneapolis mayor also says he does not understand why the police officer responsible for Floyd's death has not been charged. Overnight, police did use tear gas to disperse the crowds. At least one man is dead this morning. The circumstances still under investigation. Police say he was shot and killed outside a pawn shop near the demonstrations. CNN's Omar Jimenez live on the scene. Omar, you've been up all night watching these developments. Tell us what's happening now.
Well, John, frankly, Minneapolis is waking up to parts of its city on fire, parts like where we are standing right now, basically across the street from the Minneapolis Police 3rd Precinct, which has really been the central location for these protests. Protests that, as you can see, devolved into riots and multiple structures on fire. You just, as we pan over, you see the smoke billowing across the entire south, southeast Minneapolis area here. And this, as smoldering and as on fire as it is, when we first got here, right before that or so, this was a two-story building. There was a whole other section that was completely engulfed in flames and then eventually collapsed. Now you go across the street from this building. You see how the police are set up in the middle of the, you see how police are set up in the middle of the road right here. They had formed a little bit of a roadblock to prevent people from going across the street into literally what was an active scene of fire this morning. And then across the street is the parking lot where you see some grocery stores that have been looted. And again, this is what happened as the protests began, largely peaceful in at least two locations across this city, and then devolved into riots. Now you go into the central reason that we are seeing these protests. It is for the death of George Floyd, but also how that death unfolded. We have seen that while the officers were fired pretty quickly, the four officers involved within 24 hours of this happening, the family says they want more than that. And that is a mentality that we have seen echoed throughout the protesters. We have seen the mayor of Minneapolis chime in on that as well, saying that these officers need to be charged, and at least the arresting one, he does not understand why that officer is not behind bars. We do know the investigation is still playing out at the FBI level, at the state level and beyond, trying to gather all the facts. But every minute that goes by without at least an announcement of either some charges or not, the people here grow restless. And again, the central point is how George Floyd went from, in a matter of minutes, pleading for help to what eventually became an eternal silence.
And that's the Prime Evening News. Here's a recap of our headlines. Kara Schillingfeder defeats Anthony Estefan again as ECSC overturns a high court decision to uphold a request for judicial review in a treating matter against the DLP candidate in the 2014 general election. Relief efforts relating to the COVID-19 pandemic have taken a toll on the Jamaica Ministry of Labor and Social Security food supplies, according to Permanent Secretary in the Ministry, Colette Roberts-Risden. And parts of Minneapolis were burning this morning after fury over the death of George Floyd while in police custody. It sparked a chaotic night of rioting and clashes between law enforcement and protesters. The news was brought to you for the very kind compliments of West Indies Communications Enterprise Limited. I am Whitney Millinard.